Amen. Sergio, thank you so much for sharing your gifts of music. And man, we are so blessed to have you guys here today. Thank you very much. So this morning, we will be going over a passage in the book of Matthew chapter 18. And so I'd like to invite you to open up your tablets, to open up your iPhones, to open up your pew Bibles, or your Bibles that you brought from home, and join me as we open up in Matthew chapter 18. As I was reading this, I started to look up some information about sheep. You know, often we hear that sheep aren't very smart animals, but as I was reading some stuff about sheep, I realized that they are actually some of the most intelligent livestock that we have. Sheep actually, they stay in packs, you know, they are always together. And so, you know, I've heard once before in a sermon that, you know, when sheep, they get lost, it's because, well, they're grazing and they love to eat so much. And I totally believe, because I do too, you know. And so you eat so much and then you don't even notice that you've gotten so far away from everyone because the food's so good. And so you wander and wander and then all of a sudden you look up and everybody's gone. But that's not the case with sheep. You see, they're very smart animals. They love to stay together. They are always in packs, and when one moves, they can hear it. Their ability to hear is amazing. Their ability to smell, they can smell predators coming before they're anywhere near sight, anywhere near for them to see. The sheep can hear the rustling of the leaves and of feet, of hooves around them. So when another sheep gets up and starts to move, they're very much aware of the fact that even not just by sight, but by what they hear and by what they smell, that something is changing. And so I was looking up, how do sheep get lost then? I had a great conversation in passing with Pastor Gary, and he mentioned to me that as when he was researching sheep, that if a sheep were to wander off or were to be away from the rest of the group, it would start bleeding. And if the sheep have a relationship with each other, the other sheep that are together in a group will bleat back so that sheep can come and find the rest of the group. But if they don't like that sheep, they do not respond. Another thing that I was finding is that when a sheep, it's very hard for them, again, to get lost. And one of the ways that they do get lost is after they have been chased by a predator. And so a wolf or some other predator that has come to harm the sheep comes, and the sheep, their number one defense against predators is to flee. They run as fast as they can. And so as they're running from the predator, they can get separated from the herd and have a hard time finding their way back. And so today we're talking about the parable of the lost sheep. But instead of focusing, we'll share a little bit about how sheep, when they're lost, act. But we're going to focus on the good sheep. Because there's only one lost sheep. But there's 99 good sheep. And so today we're going to be talking, the title of my sermon today is The Good Sheep. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our God and our Father, we just thank you so much because you are an awesome God. You take care of each and every one of us. God, we praise you because you are an amazing God that does miracles in our lives and is working things out for us before we even know that we are in need to ask. And so, God, I lift up every person in this room, every family represented, including myself and my family, and we just ask, God, that you would do with our lives what is pleasing to your sight. that you would give us your heart, your eyes, to be able to do and to live our lives in a way that reflects you in amazing ways. Be with us at this moment, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And Matthew chapter 18, that was so eloquently read, starting at verse 10, says this: "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones." You repeat that again. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." You know, I don't have this huge transformation story in my life where one day I was lost and then suddenly the Lord went out and found me in the wilderness and brought me back into the sheepfold, and there was great rejoicing because this sheep that was lost has been found. I think I could say for a majority of my life, the furthest I've wandered was always within eyesight of the flock. And I don't know how many of us here have that story, but I always wondered, what about the 99, the good sheep? You see, when a sheep does wander off or is away and has a hard time coming back to the flock, it says that it bleats and bleats and bleats and bleats and bleats for any sort of response that it can get, until finally the sheep gives up, goes and finds a place to hide and lays there. It said that when the shepherd goes and actually does find the sheep, that he has to be very, very careful because that sheep is extremely scared, and he has to go down, he has to grab the sheep, bring it out of where it had hid itself. And that whole time, the sheep has at this point given up and stopped bleeding. So even if the shepherd is nearby, it will not indicate to the shepherd where it is. And so the shepherd looks high and low, everywhere, for this sheep who has given up, stopped bleeding, and then the sheep, so scared, is unable to even help the shepherd save him. And so the shepherd has to then pick up the sheep, put him on his shoulders, and carry that sheep throughout the dangerous rocky terrain back to the fold. And he celebrates, because finding this sheep is like finding a needle in a haystack. But what about the 99? Somehow, for some reason, the shepherd thinks that we can take care of each other. So for some reason, we are left with someone else, obviously, because shepherds don't always stay alone. There's two or three of them, and so they're left with someone else. And the shepherd puts all his focus on someone else, on another sheep, the one that's lost, but 99 of us have stayed. I was reading the rest of the story, and of the book of Matthew, and I wanted to know how we had gotten to this story. I had underlined where it talked about little ones, where it had talked about sheep, and over again, it says that Jesus often refers to the people of Israel as sheep. And he goes and he calls, it says often he calls the disciples, it says he calls the disciples to him, and Jesus is often calling out to his disciples or calling out to people. And you know, in terms of a shepherd-sheep relationship, the shepherd know the voice of their sheep. You know, oftentimes in the Middle East, shepherds sing or they whistle in a certain way, and because of the way they whistle or because of the way they sing consistently, the sheep have learned to recognize the tone of their shepherd. Voice. And so even so, if the shepherd goes out and takes a friend with them and gives him or her the phrases that he uses to call his sheep, the song that he uses to call his sheep, the sheep do not respond to any other voice, even if they're singing the same song. And over again in the book of Matthew, we notice that Jesus is calling out to his disciples. Jesus is calling his disciples to him. Jesus is calling out and speaking to the multitude. And here, I've noticed that there are several stories of little ones. A boy who was demon-possessed and is often thrown into the fire or the water, a little girl who is found dead. And this centurion comes to Jesus and says, please come and heal my daughter. When this chapter starts, it starts in chapter in verse 1, it says, and at that time the disciples of Jesus were saying to each other and discussing who is the greatest. It is then that Jesus called a little child to him, and he set the little child in the midst of them. And he answered, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. Goes on to say, whoever causes one of these little ones, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come. And he talks about if a hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If an eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, because it is better that you enter into the kingdom of heaven maimed than it is for you to enter into the gates of hell whole. And then he says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. So Jesus isn't really talking about the lost sheep. Jesus is talking about the good sheep. Jesus is talking to the good sheep. I don't know how many of you have ever met someone you don't like. Some of us have them in our family. Others of us have them in our workplaces, in our places where we go to school, in our group of circle of friends. There's just that one person
that we cannot stand.
And at all costs, there are moments where we just make sure that we avoid as much interaction with them as possible. And sometimes these people are so, I don't know, have this ability to get under our skin. I wonder, could they be a little one? Or maybe it's the children, the ones that don't pay our electricity bills because they don't give tithe, the ones that don't really do much more than ask for more and more and more. And it doesn't ever matter how old the little ones get, the youngest always ask for more and more and more. I know, I'm one of them. But I wonder, have I ever been a little one myself? And I wonder, maybe that little one was that sheep that wandered off and was bleeding and bleeding and bleeding and saying, "Help me. Where are you?" But because we didn't care too much for that little one, we never bleated back to tell them where to come for safety. Because maybe they were just someone we'd rather avoid. And it says that the shepherd so passionately loves these little ones that maybe was one that got chased off by a predator, a wolf, that came and to chase it off and separate it from the community. Whatever reason that happened, the 99 are still safe and secure, and that one little one is the one that the shepherd spends most of his time seeking. And I wonder, what if God had trained each and every one of the 99 to stick together? What if God had trained all of those sheep? What if that shepherd, that pastor, had trained all of those sheep to go and looking in search teams for that little one? But instead, the sheep stay together and don't worry about that because they're safe. And I wonder, how comfortable do I get staying in my church? How comfortable do I get staying in my little Seventh-day Adventist group that I myself do not follow the shepherd's example and go out putting my own life at danger, seeking underneath the most scariest of terrain where I could myself be perish because I am looking for someone that cannot even help themselves? What is the purpose of the 99? I see that sheep can produce milk, and sheep can produce wool, and sheep can eat up lots and lots and lots of grass. But what if we were to redefine what it means to be in the sheepfold of Christianity? What if our goal suddenly became not so much to take care of what is inside as it is to make sure that what is inside is healthy and taken care of and strong for the purposes of going out and finding that one? What if when that one bleated because it didn't have a place to call home, it didn't know how to get back, what if we just bleated back? The Bible says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones." And then on in verse 14 says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Even so, it is not the will of your Father that one of these little ones should perish. And I thought about what it means to be like this child, to be childlike. And I think that a child is 100% fully dependent on its parents. And in this time, sometimes when parents had debts, they would sell their children into slavery so that they would be okay. Sometimes these children were sold into, you know, we think that there's, do you guys know that San Bernardino is one of the top places, one of the central places for sex trafficking in the United States? But it wasn't just something that happens now, it's something that was even in that time. These children would be sold into that kind of work so that they could make money, so that they could allow someone else to exercise power and authority over them, so that other people could feel good about themselves. And it says in here, Jesus is speaking directly to that. If any of you were to cause one of my little ones to sin, if you are thinking so much just of yourself that you are causing another little one to fall, to fail, woe to you. Because those are the ones I leave for. I want to be a good sheep. I want to stay in the fold. But I want to be in the fold so that when God brings back one of the 99, I'm going to be able to call it and call out to it and tell him to come home. And when it comes to our church members, and when it comes to new people that come in, sometimes people come into the church because they have real great needs. I know I have family members that have left the church, and when they come back because they have this great need, because something has happened in their life, because something has happened in their family, because something has happened that is tragic or traumatic, or you know what, they're just seeking God and they want to know, maybe this is a place where they can find him. And it's hard because when someone enters into my life, they have to invest in the baggage that I come with. When someone invests into our life, they have to make sure that they're with us through the difficulties and the good times. And sometimes it's just a lot easier to come and to tell people, "Hey, how you doing? Happy Sabbath. Had a good week? Great. Good to see you. Okay. All right. I'll see you next week." But the sheepfold, it's a home. The sheepfold is a place where we try to keep each other safe. A good sheepfold is one that always keeps its eyes on the shepherd and that recognizes that when this loving shepherd goes and leaves us to find that one, that when that one comes back, we keep it in the fold. Jesus himself was alluded to as a shepherd. And Jesus himself was alluded to as a sheep led to the slaughter. And I wonder what it was like for a shepherd to become a sheep. And this sheep, the Bible says, gave his life so that the other 99 might live. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called the little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like this little child, unless you are converted and become his children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." So this year I've been doing my absolute best to make sure that in my life I do not make things happen out of my own volition, out of my own desires. It's so easy to want to be able to fix situations that you're in before you take them to God. It's so easy to want to make things happen in your life before you stop for just a moment and ask the Lord for direction. And it's really, really hard, because that means that the directions that I take is dependent on my relationship with God. It is not dependent on how much I know. It is not dependent on how much I do. It is not dependent on what others think of me. It is fully a dependence on what God is wanting to say to me in my life, what direction God is wanting me to go in my life. And I wonder if that's what it's like to be just like a child, 100% completely dependent on God. I went and talked to a friend of mine who was going through some difficulties, and she wasn't sure if she should stay where she is or if she should go. And as I was talking to her, you know, I wanted to tell her, well, if you just do this, if you just say this, or this person needs to respond in such and such way, and if this isn't happening, then this is what you should do. But in my practice, I knew that was not what my relationship with God, it didn't reflect that. And so I told her, well, what is God calling you to do? When you pray, what does God say to you? And it was completely the opposite of what I would have told her, the advice that I would have given her, of the things that I think would be best for her. And I know her well. And as we continued to pray, and as I told her I would pray for her, and as I encouraged her to, you know, continue praying and fasting about this particular decision, God seemed to be revealing things that were so opposite of what I thought were ever possible in that particular situation in someone else's life, that I was just absolutely amazed at how God worked. Because she then showed that she was just completely dependent on God. And because of her faithfulness to God, I was blown away by how amazing God is. And it is that, and that is the greatest person in the kingdom. The one who doesn't necessarily need to say anything. The one that doesn't have to get up and make some great speech, but that one that just fills the room with their dependence on God. And that urges and that calls other people to be fully dependent on God. And the Bible says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. Jealousy can be a big thing, you know. We always want things to go the way we want. We want to be in control. And sometimes our jealousy of other people makes us treat them in ways that makes them feel that they are less than valuable. It says, take heed that you do not despise this little one who you may not see having great value, who you may not see that has the ability to give back, but has the ability to be able to sit at the feet of God, to sit at the feet of Jesus, and to be so full of the Spirit of God that even though they may not be the best leader, even though they may not be the best singer, even though they can't direct the best choir or act the best, their absolute presence changes a room because of their dependence on God, like a child is dependent on their parent. In good situations and in bad, they have no other choice. So what do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray? What would you think of them? Unwise. They should cut their losses. You still have 99. It's only 1%. Do you really want to put your life in danger for that 1%? See, the other 99 know how to stick together. But for some reason, Jesus associates the despising of a little one with the reason that it is lost. At least it seems that way. And I can see how Jesus is talking about the bigger picture. That bigger picture of how he has just healed someone on the Sabbath. Or how he touched someone that was dead. Or how he went and cast out demons in someone that may have been deviling in places their hands should have never been. Jesus goes and seeks out those who sometimes I would rather not associate myself with. And he goes and he brings the Spirit and the power of God so deeply into their lives that they are forever changed. And they are his new flock. I want to be a part of that. I want to follow my shepherd, even if it makes me look bad. And that means I have to do some life adjustments. That means I have to do some life priority changing. That means that I have to care less about what the other 98 sheep think of me and more about what the shepherd has in mind for the future, for the present. If I am to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, then I too am supposed to enter into the lives of those who have demons. I too am supposed to enter the rooms where people are dying, both literally, spiritually, emotionally. But if I am a good sheep that follows my shepherd wherever he goes, then I must trust that when he calls me to himself and he tells me, feed these 4,000 with your few loaves and what few fish you have, and let me multiply it. When he says to me, I am going to send you out like sheep amongst wolves, I must go. When he says to me that I am to follow him, even if it's against everything that I've ever wanted for my life, I must go. But the only way that I can know what God is wanting for me in my life is if I stay connected to him. If I ask him when those big decisions in my life come, when there are things that I really, really want for my life, but before I say yes, I hold off for just a moment longer so that I can take it to the Lord and make sure that my desire is in will with his desire for my life. Have you ever said no to God? Have you ever heard what he wanted you to do and not done it? Have you ever known that this is not something that God wants you to do in your life, and this isn't the direction that God is wanting you to take, but yet you take it anyway, and you ask God to bless it? I have. And I have learned that there is no better place to be than in the will of God. And that all of the things that you may think that God takes from you, He will give you tenfold if you would just follow Him. So don't despise a little one. Don't despise anyone. It's really easy to say. It's really, really hard to live out in life. Because at some point in time, we recognize that when we despise someone, it's because there is a deep hurt in our own lives. A deep pain. Cruel, sharp words that have entered the spirit of our soul. Horrible things that have been done to us by these other selfish sheep that have now become little ones? What? But my God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And even if it seems like I'm not there, it is in those very moments where you may not see me that I am fighting the hardest on your behalf. And so, let us be better sheep. Not just good ones. Let us take where God has us as a challenge to follow Him, even if He goes looking for that lost sheep. May I follow my Savior wherever He goes. May I reflect what He has for me in my life. And may my joys be when someone else's life is blessed because of what I do. This afternoon, we have a couple that has been attending our church. They, along with some other friends, have put together some things that have been happening, or a fundraiser for the things that have been happening in the Philippines. I believe it's walk for the Philippines, is that right? Today at 3 o'clock, Holdacrook Park, they're raising funds to help those who really can't provide for themselves right now, who have lost a lot, lost their homes, and I don't know, may have even lost loved ones. So I invite you to be a part of that. We also here at the Southeastern California Conference are collecting funds, and if you want some more information from that, we'll have that in the office on Monday, and we are going to just be supporting what our conference is already doing and taking up an offering. Our VP for Asian Ministries is going to be going to the Philippines in a little bit, and we'll make sure that the funds get dispersed in the ways that they were intended to go. Also, our church here is collecting food for people in the community. We have canned food that is going to be given to families that don't have any. And so we ask that you please, if you have the time, that you purchase something new. Something brand new, that we not go through our cupboards and empty out all the stuff we don't want and give our leftovers, but that we give a sacrifice, maybe a couple cups of coffee, tea, a couple cups of tea, Snickers bars, whatever. We give up our favorite drink so that we can give something good to someone else, something new, the best of what we can offer them. The Sam's Club and Costco are nearby, so there's no excuse. But we want to be able to bless people. We want this community to be able to bless those that need it this holiday season. And so there's some opportunities for you to get involved with what our conference is doing, what some of our church members are doing, or people who have been attending our church, what this church does every year. We want to invite you to participate in blessing the life of someone else. Give up some of your time. Give up some of your favorite drinks. Give up something so that someone else that doesn't have anything can have a little bit more, a little bit of ease this holiday season. I just want to ask that we bow our heads in prayer. Our God and our Father, we just thank you so much for loving us. And God, we ask that you would help us, that we may reflect you more. Thank you for the opportunities that we have here in this church just to serve your people. May we never despise your little ones, and may we never even despise each other, God. In Matthew 18, it also tells us how to love one another and how to get rid of the conflicts that are going on. And may we follow the guidance that follows this passage whenever we have difficulties, God. And may we reflect you, may we love you, may we seek out being in good relationship with people because we are in good relationship with you. We love you. We thank you for what you do on our behalf. And we can't wait until we get to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.